Blog Talk Radio.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town. No postcode envy,
but every song like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trash in the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
We sound like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal.
And we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy.
Mr. Chalella.
What up?
Miss Peterson is already here, and Lou will be joining us shortly.
Great.
Welcome back.
Yay.
Christy, is this your first show of the new year?
Yeah, it is.
Thank you for joining us.
It may be my last, depending on how it goes.
Why?
I don't know. I just wanted to start the show extra surly.
Oh, okay.
A surly bastard for no reason. Yeah, 2014.
Okay.
Surly bastard.
Would it make you feel better if I just threw you off the show?
No,
not at all. Damn. All right.
Then she'd have to come and kick you in the stomach.
No, she kicked me in the snot box.
Yeah. Mm. All up in it.
Yeah. She doesn't kick people in the belly. She kicks them straight in the face. She
right.
rocks knot boxes. That's what she does.
Exactly.
But we have quite a bit to get to today, actually. Let's start off with, do you guys remember a while ago that Daniel Tosh got in trouble because some chick heckled him at a club. And
really?
Well, yeah, because some chick heckled him at a club, and he was like, you know what, I hope you get raped. Like,
oh.
And he was, you know, joking. Yeah, yeah, but that got him in a lot of trouble, and you know, people were up in arms. And then when they came at him, you know, asking him to kind of trying to get him to defend himself, he's like, really? Like, why am I going to defend myself? Like, that's my sense of humor. That's what I do. That's what
right.
I get paid for. And, you know, like, I'll even make jokes about my sister getting raped. Like, it's, you know, like, that's what I do. And, I don't necessarily, like, I feel like his response to the heckling wasn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily believe that he should be taken to task. I mean, he wasn't fired or anything like that, so his freedom of speech is still intact. But, you know, like, I got into an argument on Facebook today because, you know, people who have been raped or molested have said, you know, this is not funny to me. But I do know people who have been, like, gang raped who have found certain rape jokes to be funny. So
leave me
where,
out of it.
You know,
I'm just kidding.
No, you, it's not rape if it's the willing, Rick. You so don't count.
No, I meant that I was the person who got gang raped.
Oh.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You can't rape the willing.
Exactly.
Right. You signed up and got tickets and everything for your own half raping. That just doesn't.
He held a contest. And and people applied.
Yeah, my nice
to win a date in mixed asshole. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's how I feel about the whole rape jokes. It's just like dead baby jokes or like you know jokes of that have to do with people's race or anything. You try to find line. You try to find line. You know, you can. It's a fine line between hurtful and not funny and extremely ludicrous and satirical and stupid funny. You just have to know how to do it, and we can't defend you if you don't. If you don't know how to use that tool correctly or to effectively, it's not my fault when people take you to task because they also deserve the right to take your ass to task if it's not funny.
Correct. But I also feel like because the argument was essentially rape jokes are just not funny, period, and no one should ever make them. And I happen to I mean, obviously – based on the history of the show, I disagree with that sentiment. But my point is, with him, for example, I find Daniel Tosh to be amusing most of the time.
Yeah.
I think in this particular instance, his retort to the heckle fell flat.
It was mean-spirited.
It was mean-spirited. But you know, I've also been on a comedy stage, and I know that heckling is a really cunty thing to do.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, his response may have been disproportionately mean, but at the same time, like, it's really, really rare for a comic to be able to completely swivel that around, because once that derision starts in the crowd, that can lose you the whole crowd, and it's not even your fault. It just, if some rowdy person starts messing, the whole comedy atmosphere is fragile. You know, like,
right.
You can bomb in a place based on things that are out of your control. You know, some commotion in the back that has nothing to do with you could steal people's attention and just completely take away from what you're doing. Yeah. You know, so
I usually swivel from hecklers. I mean, I just try to keep it short and sweet. Like, you know, I'll say something like, Mom, I told you not to interrupt my show.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly. But it's not foolproof. And even the best, I mean, the best comics will tell you, like Richard Pryor was able to say the same thing. Even Chris Rock was like, you know, sometimes you just suck.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just go someplace. Like, you could be the most professional and well-paid comedian in the world, and sometimes you just can't get it together on stage. It's a stressful situation. I understand that. He didn't make the right choice, but people wanted him to apologize, and he's like, I'm not going to apologize for being myself. That's what you pay me for. Like, it may not have been funny to the people, to certain people, and maybe it wasn't funny to everybody. Maybe he just fucked up. But my argument is that you can't poll a group of people ahead of time, a particular demographic, and say, is this going to be funny to you?
I mean, the only way you can do it is what he did, is on stage. That's how you know
exactly
what's funny and what's not.
Right.
Exactly. That's how you test material out. I mean, you can't. Yeah, I had this. I wrote a joke, a letter ages ago called "Letter to My Doggy," and it was, you know, like I was just joking around. It was like, you know, do you remember the time that you ate my food and I put you in that cage with that huge horny pit bull? Like, do you remember that? Remember when I did that? You know, good times. And they'll be like, do you remember when I ate your food? Yeah, you didn't do shit, bitch. You know, like stuff like jokes, like stupid
right.
fucking jokes. And this was back, Christy, this was back on Pointless Banner. And, like,
yeah.
I got death threats off of that shit.
Oh, my God.
Like, people were,
I got death threats.
People were pissed. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people get pissed off at the dumbest shit. And this
yeah.
woman was like, well, my dog just died, so I don't find any of this funny. I'm like, well, my dogs are alive, and I love them.
Yeah,
and I'm not
going to. Like, obviously, there's going to yeah. be those kind of situations where, you know, when you bring up a rape joke, like Christy was saying, you know, there are going to be people who had been raped or know people who have been raped who are going to take greater offense to it than, like, you or I would, Mike. You know what I'm saying? So, like...
Yeah.
You know,
but
it's kind
that's
of
not
thing
to say that I'm not...
Doing...
But that's not to say that I find rape to be tasteful in any... That's not to say that...
No, but
like,
I'm saying...
The whole rape... Like, the word rape culture was getting thrown around, and I'm like, let me tell you something. Like, I think that that's probably worse than murder. Like, rape is worse to me than murder. Like, that's a
yeah.
You know how you feel when somebody breaks into your car or your house, how violated you feel. Like,
mm-hmm.
imagine they did that to your body. Like, that's not,
yeah.
that's not, like, there's nothing.
There's nothing you can replace. Like, you, there's nothing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, you're fundamentally changed for life when that happens to you. Like, that's,
right.
that absolutely changes your entire personality when that happens to somebody. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, when it's happening, like, the people who have it happening to them, you're going to doubt whether or not you survive it, because
right.
sometimes people get raped and killed. Like, that's not,
mm-hmm.
it's not like that doesn't happen ever.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like,
as far as him making that
yeah.
joke, just like as far as you writing the thing about your dog, you're not writing the letter to your dog and thinking, gee, what is the response going to be if... one out of the 150 people reading this just had a dog die. You know what I mean? Like, you can't worry about that.
Not at all.
Right.
Right. I mean, I think everybody here has probably said some things trying to be funny at some point, and it didn't go over. I can
right.
guarantee you that both of you guys
yeah.
have done that.
Yeah. Not as much as you have, because I've talked
no,
of course
not.
Time. But, yeah.
90% of my participation in the show is telling jokes that don't get over, so I definitely know what you're talking about.
Well, that's probably about 99% of my life, I think.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Well, I mean, you just can't be afraid of your jokes not going over, but at the same
right.
time, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
you
if they don't work, you try to hone them and make them better, right?
And some of them just won't, so you just got to give it up.
Right.
But as far as he goes in this specific instance, like if I, you know, if you're going to see a Tosh show, you kind of
yeah.
have to be prepared for that sort of response, especially
yes,
if you're going to
and
have
I do,
it's not,
I do
it's not
think
just
it's disrespectful.
Around.
It's yeah, I do
like,
think it's disrespectful. You go to an established comedian, like this just happened to Dave Chappelle a couple of months ago. Like, he got heckled
yeah,
really
right.
bad at a show, and he walked off. Cause, and
right.
I agree with him. Fuck, like,
yeah.
fuck you guys.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you don't go to a movie and heckle the movie. Because it ruins it for other people. Like, it's a show. You don't go to a
yeah.
fucking rock concert and get up on stage and grab the microphone and start singing.
Well,
you know, like,
you go
in
to
a
rock. Sometimes you go to a rock show and throw a dime at Mike Watt.
Yeah. it may happen. What kind of rock show are you going to, bitch? Now, but here's the thing. Like, it's a rape jokes. You gotta be a special kind of person to even try and craft a joke around rape, let alone for it to go over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For it to, because not everybody thinks that way, you know, middle America or whatever, rape is bad, right?
Yeah.
Then there's sick fuckers like me and you, and you and you, and all the people listening to us.
Oh, here he is.
Let's
get Louie on here.
You know.
Louie, you there?
I love how we've gotten the female co-host to be talk about rape constantly now.
Well,
I hear when I go, oh, rape. And,
but you
rape.
Don't really hear me making jokes about it, really.
No,
I mean,
you really don't. That's one area that I don't think I've seen you make jokes on. But here's kind of the crux of the matter to me, is that they said one of the arguments was, well, you know, all he had to do was look out in the audience and see that there were a whole bunch of women in the audience. And you know, because 90% of women have been molested in some way, he shouldn't have said that because of it. And my argument is, okay, how about the fact that I personally know people who have been gang raped who find certain rape jokes to be funny? Maybe you can't just walk around saying rape and expect everybody to laugh.
Okay, or how about this? Men get raped too.
Yeah.
Right. Men get
violated. Probably not with the
same
frequency. Probably not with the same frequency as women do.
No, of
but
course
point,
not. But still, you're saying
the
you
point
can't
is,
go into the. You can, if you're him, you can't go into your show thinking, "Wow, 31% of my audience may have been raped." So let me not tell this. You can't do that.
Yeah,
especially if you're somebody like Daniel Tosh, who's an established, well-known comedian. This is not somebody who's trying to make their bones. This is somebody.
It's not like me and you are up on stage and just start saying stuff like that. Like, we can't get away with that. Like,
no, he's a headliner. He's a guy that's got his own television show. This is a guy that you have to know what the fuck you're getting into before you go there. Like, that's on you. You're paying him to entertain you. You know, afterwards you can say, fuck, that sucked. That was a shitty show. I'm not going to, you know, fuck him. I'm not watching this dumb show. You know, or it's not worth it, whatever. But, I mean, you know, it's especially, to me, disrespectful during a big set like that to be in the audience and yell shit.
I think it's disrespectful even if it's, like, an open mic and you didn't pay shit. You know, you just paid the $2 minimum.
Well, see, Louie and I have a kind of a different take on that.
I mean, it depends. Now, if it's, like, some hobo farting on the stage into the microphone, then you, by all means. But if you could see the guy is actually trying, he may not be good or nothing, but keep that shit to yourself.
You remember a guy named Omar, I believe his name was. He used to do a lot of rape jokes. He was like a non-dis guy, maybe had glasses.
Oh, Omar Beer.
Yeah. And
guy's last name is Beer, by the way. This guy's last name is Beer. His last name is Beer.
I feel we kind of hindered his career because we always laughed at his rape jokes. I think it's the last.
Yeah.
He probably took that on the road. Like, these guys love it.
But he didn't just get up on stage and start screaming rape. He actually tried to craft jokes around it. Like, he was trying to be clever about it. You know, it wasn't. I wish I could remember some of them because it'd probably be funnier than anything I could say, but. But, I mean, our whole open mic night show was basically you come there for free, you get up on stage, we give you a couple of minutes to try to say something funny, and if you suck and you're stupid, we start heckling. We don't tell you to get off the stage, even though we're the hosts and we can do that, but we'll start heckling you ourselves.
Well, I still agree with Christy that it at least takes enough balls to go up there that you shouldn't be too mean as far as you're heckling.
Oh, no, we were horrible. We were very disrespectful to everyone.
Well, my comic life was in Seattle and stuff, and there was a bunch of alt comics, you know, those hipster kids that, you know, wear the tight pants and the sunglasses and the goofy-ass hat, and they talk about how their cat it hates them secretly, you know, stupid shit like that.
I'd rather hear a rape joke any old day of the week.
Yeah.
There you go.
So a rape joke would not go over very good. They'd be appalled.
Well, I think any jokes would have gone over in our room because it was so lacking of them. Like, we didn't really have people who told jokes in that show.
Oh.
Like, we had people who came up and ranted about how much their lives suck.
Oh, well, yeah.
That would be me, yeah. Sounds like my kind of set.
Oh, horrible. Well, you know, I would tell, like, jokes, like, about being an interracial marriage, having interracial kids, blah, blah, blah. I was just wonderful. But I think the most flack I caught from wasn't black people, because I told a lot of crazy-ass, you know, racial jokes.
I think you and Louie had the same set, actually.
I think most of it came from white people. Like, the one lady I did a joke about white guilt, and she's like, that's not true. I said, the fact that you said that's not true actually plays up to the white guilt. And she just flew off the handle, right? And she wanted to fight me on stage. That didn't go over too well. That was a rough moment, and
but
I just had to get off
stage.
Even
the most professional comedians can make statements or say things that bump. But the difference is that he was on stage when this happened. He was on his forum. It was part of the show. He got heckled as a big time professional comedian, and he shot back at her, and it doesn't always work. That's actually a situation that's very, like, of all of the skills that a comedian should have, being able to handle a heckler is one of them, except that there's a very, very small amount of comedians that can successfully do that. Like,
because every heckler is different.
Exactly. Every situation is different. It takes a very, like, very sharp mind. It takes a very, very quick wit. And sometimes you even have to have...
improv hyped up to, like, the nth degree.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's high-pressure improv, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
I was watching, actually, someone, Joan Rivers, that crazy old bag, and she was being heckled. She did a deaf joke, and somebody in the crowd was like, oh, my daughter's deaf or something, and she handled it pretty well. I was just impressed with the whole documentary.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how can you not do a deaf joke just in case somebody in the crowd knows somebody?
You can't. It's not your job as a comedian to. And that's how on the argument that I had with the bitch about my dog blog, I ended the discussion by saying, you know what? I'll tell you what. Give me your email address, and any time before I publish anything, I'll send it to you to make sure it passes your muster.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's so ludicrous.
Like,
yeah,
you can be my personal fucking editor, because what you think is funny matters to me that much.
It was like
you
my...
can't do that.
The 10 no. things I'm going to hell blog for, you know? And one of them was kids with helmets, you know? You know, how they have that thing, and they constantly hit in their heads, so they wear the... Well, that sends me over the moon. I turn into, like, a third grader giggling, you know, and it's just... I know it's wrong, and I'm a full-grown adult, and I should know that this is a condition that this child can't help, but doesn't make it any less hilarious.
No, and it's fun. I mean, Cat Williams has a set about, you know, a guy with one leg running a marathon, and he calls him poor little Tink Tink, because that's the sound that he makes when he runs. You know, like, and that's a, you know, I'm sure there's some fucking vets who lost their leg in combat that's not funny to and shit, but you, like, it's not, it's about entertainment. You can't, just because something isn't funny to you, doesn't mean you can disregard it altogether.
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't find How I Met Your Mother to be funny at all. But
no,
most
not,
of America does.
I used to like it. It's pretty terrible right now.
I can't watch sitcoms. They're all terrible. Particular joke about the helmeted children. Now, I was big on lists, so there was a list of, like, 10 equally horrible examples of why I'm going to hell, but I think these things are funny. She picked that one out in particular. And holy crap, I might as well just said Jesus was a black man, because she went up my shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She just was sending me mail and sending all kinds of groups after me. I'm like, look, you're just going to have to take a chill pill. I say some foul things.
Like, I wrote a...
Why people get so up in arms over that kind of thing.
Well, that's the point that we've all made on this show before, is that the tendency for people to get outraged in this country, even us, I mean, we have our own outrages, but, like, middle America has a really, like, there's definitely a political correctness that permeates so thickly that people just feed off of outrage. Like, there's too much. And getting outraged at a comedian is probably one of the dumbest things that you can do. Like, that's, that's their job
absolutely.
Is to try to poke holes in the things that you see around you.
I'm outraged.
That's what comedians are paid for.
I'm outraged that rain is wet and white people are in power.
I'm outraged that people get outraged at comedians. Like, I don't get it. I don't get that. You're a comedian, you say so. Like, Michael Richards and what he did was a different example to me. Because, first off, I don't consider Michael Richards to be a comedian. I've seen his act. It's not fun. I don't even know how
it's
somebody
horrible.
Booked him to do anything. He's terrible.
Like,
and most of America agrees with me. It's not like that's just something that I'm pulling out of my ass. Like, he's not well-regarded as a fucking comedian. And what he did, like that, Michael Richards not screaming nigger at the top of his lungs, that's not censorship. That's decorum. Like, you got to be a hell of a lot more clever at a heckler than just screaming nigger over and over again.
And they should be hanging from the tree. They used to be hanging from the trees. Well, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But no. It's just, yes, it wasn't so much as the overuse of the offensive term as the fact that you lost your shit and you're supposed to be a professional. And not only did you lose your shit, you lost it in the worst kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his shit. And see, to me, obviously I can't, I have a tenuous position as it is in everything we're talking about because I'm not a woman. I've never been raped. I'm not black, you know. So even though I feel outrage at what he said, like it probably doesn't hurt me on the same level that it hurts a black person.
Way. Right. Exactly.
However, I believe that Michael Richards didn't have to apologize to anybody. He could have, but all he had to do was disappear. Like all America had to do was say, you know what, this is a person who can't keep their shit together and doesn't deserve our attention. That's not what happened. What happened is there were big publicized meetings with fucking Jesse Jackson, if he's a representation of black America, then my dick is black. Okay? Like, that's fucking ridiculous. Jesse fucking Jackson. Yeah, no, and they want him to go apologize to black. No, fuck, black America is smart enough to say, you know what, fuck Michael Richards. Fuck Seinfeld and his stupid Jewish subplots. Fuck Seinfeld. Fuck Michael Richards. We're not paying attention to this douchebag. Don't put him on your shows. We're not going to watch your shows if you put him on. I feel like we have a social responsibility to say, no, we're not going to listen to this shit anymore.
We do.
Why shouldn't he be
about nothing? That'd be, you know, for that would
yeah.
be nowhere. Everyone gets
I mean, and you them. Saw that, you know, and here's the thing. As a black person, I felt like his apology was disingenuous, that it was forced and he was trying to save his ass. That's all.
Yeah, I felt that way, too. I did feel that way also. That's another reason I didn't give a shit about it.
Oh, well, speaking of black and rants, did anybody see somebody on CNN yesterday, was it?
What happened?
Happened? Rodman.
Rodman, that guy.
He's in.
Yeah. That was one of the things that I wanted to touch upon. That's
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
It is just gibberish.
I'm not even sure it's worth talking. Do you think it's worth talking about? Like, it was that bad.
He couldn't finish or even start a sentence. But let me ask: was he on WWF or something?
At one point in time, you know, they get everybody to be on there at least once.
Wait, what did you say? What was your question?
He was on WWF at one point. Is that
he was in WWF.
He was. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, he turned into that mode. He was just like,
WWE wrestlers whose brains are addled by painkillers and all sorts of drugs and whatever that syndrome is that Muhammad Ali got from too many repeated brain injuries. Like, even wrestlers with all of those factors in place were still more articulate than Dennis Rodman.
Just for the record, he was in WCW, not WWE.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
no
like,
weird.
That makes a difference.
I don't think the record gives a shit.
No. I think we all concur that you're the only one.
The record reflects that Nick should go have sex with himself. hard.
I still have my Dennis Rodman and Hulk Hogan NWO figure.
Oh, do you?
Here's the setup.
That's why you're
Dennis Rodman was on some sports interview show with other young basketball players. I think he took them over to North
CNN.
Korea.
He was on CNN, the primetime, daytime.
Yeah, it was some bullshit. And the host said to him after some other bullshit banter, he was like, "So, Dennis, since you have this relationship with the leader of North Korea, would you use that relationship as leverage to get Kenneth Bay released or to get him some clemency or something? Would you use that relationship to help us diplomatically get this political prisoner, some clemency?" And Rodman's response was incoherent and babbling. The only thing that made any sense was when he said, "Oh, you don't know what he did." So Dennis Rodman is somehow getting information politically about this guy and what his crimes were against North Korea.
Do you know?
Right.
Or ask him, "Do you know? Do you know what he did?" It was just incoherent. Is he on drugs? He's got to be on drugs.
He's been known to drink alcohol. He's an alcoholic.
No, he was absolutely that. I mean, he was angry and babbling. Like it was a total fucking meltdown. Like don't put that asshole on camera. The only reason I didn't want to talk about it is because his lunacy. It's obvious by somebody who goes back and forth to North Korea, which is a horrible state. I mean, the conditions in that state, people are starving to death, prison camps that people are generationally chained to. Like, if your grandparents commit a crime when they're young, like, they have to live in the prison camp for, like, three generations. They punish your children and your children's children. Like, that there's no fucking joke about what a horrible place North Korea is. Like, South Korea is a terrible place, but South Korea is a million times better than North Korea. So this fucking idiot is going back and forth to North Korea and hanging out with the fucking dictator who's also been grandfathered in literally to power.
Yes.
He's got no legitimate claim to being there whatsoever other than the fact... Yeah, actually, yeah, and he just killed his uncle. So he's doing this, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, you know, the only reason I'm not upset about that is because it's fucking Dennis Rodman, and fuck him. Who cares?
Right.
Fuck Dennis
exactly.
Rodman. They can have Dennis Rodman. But now this motherfucker is, like, trying to be, like, he's got some kind of diplomatic thing going on where he's talking about it on the air, and he's bringing other people there. Like, so this guy's idiocy, his drunken, stupid decision-making is now on a global scale. It's not just affecting him and the people around him who care about him, if there are any. This is something that's actually has something to do with diplomatic relations between two angry countries. Like, he could be a catalyst for something bad. Like, that's a possibility.
He wakes up. He wakes up every morning and says, "How else can I fuck some shit up?" Okay.
And it's wrong, and it could bring nuclear war to the earth.
That sounds hyperbolic and far-fetched, but, I mean, honestly, it's really not. Like, when things explode,
it's because of a series of factors that led up to it. Powder kegs are not just, they don't just appear. There's already tension between North Korea and other countries, including China now. North Korea is now pissed off China, which is their only fucking ally. Like, Dennis Rodman is an idiot now on the level that, to me, is bordering on fucking traitorism. Like, I don't see why we should allow him back into this country.
Listen up, America. Do ourselves a great service and leave Dennis Rodman to the North Koreans. Just let him go. Just let him go. We don't want to put him back on a plane. We just do. Just what you do is you take him to the sky bar, get him loaded, and just walk him back in the same direction and tell him.
We're home.
We're home.
It's just that easy. You don't even have to pat him down. You just Walker's
I felt bad
ass
for
ass.
The other guys, the other team members that he brought with him. They were all.
Well, did you watch that video? Did you see the looks on their faces? Like, I've been in that situation where a boss or a family member is losing their shit publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you put your hand on their shoulder, like, take it easy, take it easy. It's all
right.
Right.
We're best friends.
Well, hey.
A kid named Mike. Hey.
I don't know if that ever happened, but you definitely swiveled around behind a Dominican that thought he was tough. That was funny.
How many times must I hear stories of you getting beat up?
No, actually, none of the stories have ended with me getting beat up, surprisingly.
Not him.
Surprisingly.
Not him. Not you, Mike. I'm talking about the other guy.
I got beat up while I was.
The other guy.
just some random guy. I always beat him. No, nobody got beat up. I don't beat anybody up either.
You don't? That's a surprise.
No.
The only thing Mike
can ever got into
ass.
A fight.
Fighting's bad. I don't advocate violence.
So in the last 10 minutes, I'll try to toss something else in that I learned this week. Did you guys know that there was a civil trial regarding Martin Luther King's murder?
Yeah, I did.
Back in about 98.
Mm-hmm. It was earlier than that. Was it that late?
No, 98.
It was
98.
Nothing came of that.
And apparently, because Martin Luther King's family believes that his murderer, James Earl Ray, was a patsy. His family believes that.
Right.
And the civil trial confirmed that.
Did it?
And I didn't hear about this in the news. This was not widely publicized. It's not something we talk about. Anytime Martin Luther King Jr.'s name is brought up, this should fucking be brought up in conjunction with it. The civil trial, the family asked for $100 in compensation because they didn't want it. It was enough to cover what they considered court costs. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the money. Even though a life like Martin Luther King Jr.'s is fucking priceless, they didn't ask for any fucking remuneration. What they did, though, was they wanted it on record that it was a conspiracy, which is what the civil trial could establish, that it was a conspiracy between branches of the federal government and the Memphis police. And this
was
proven in a civil court.
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing new in the black community to us. You know, they always suspected there was some sort of conspiracy.
The guy who killed Malcolm X was a fucking plant. He was a guy who was trained by FBI plants, by COINTELPRO people.
You know.
Robert
Kennedy, too, you know.
I'm going to mention that last night on CNN, the half, at least, of the group who made the word COINTELPRO known to us, who broke into an FBI office in the 70s, I think it was, they finally came forward. They came forward. It was just there's half of them came forward. It was a cab driver and a couple who were just like, one was like a religion teacher, one was like a preschool teacher, and they were all in the anti-war movement, and I guess a professor of a college or something, a university, said, oh, we should break into an FBI office and see what's going on, because, you know, they're infiltrating us. And they finally came out. Well, at least three
they
of them.
Came
three
forward.
Other people. Yeah, there's three people that I guess didn't want the attention.
Did they do the research and make sure the statute of limitations is passed?
Yeah, exactly.
That's sure.
They went into detail on how they watched them. The lady dressed up as a co-ed and was like, oh, I'm here to find out about FBI opportunity for women in the FBI. And she cased the place out.
Son of a bitch. That's awesome.
They waited for the Ali Frazier fight again that night because they knew the cops and everybody was going to be watching the fight.
That's fucking brilliant.
I know. And then they had this fucking guy on CNN who was such a tool. Every time they talk about Snowden, he's like, he broke the law, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I know Snowden, you know, he's not a hero per se, but, you know, he brought some attention to this.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So they asked him, you say that. What about these people? They're like, they shouldn't have done it. You know, it's an immoral thing to have done, even though it brought to light all the evil of the FBI.
Why is that immoral when all they were doing is the same fucking shit that the FBI did, and the FBI has the kind of money that they can continue to do that, unbeknownst to us, who are paying their fucking salaries.
I'm worse than fucking breaking.
Why are we paying money towards the government for them to treat us like second-class citizens? That is something I will never understand. Why is it okay for the government to keep secrets from the people that pay them to exist?
The guy's such a fucking shill for the government. Unbelievable.
It's never going to happen, but what we should do collectively as a people is demand a fucking an itemized list from the government on what our money gets spent on, where our dollar, every dollar that we pay goes.
Yeah, that would be nice, but...
That would be nice. It's never going to happen.
Obviously,
conspiracy theorists always point out that in 2001 there was going to be an audit of the IRS before 9/11. That 9/11 happened only because of that audit, and it never came to fruition, I believe.
Speaking of 9/11, I saw I was watching a video, and I like Jesse Ventura because Jesse Ventura was very outspoken and critical of the government, and I mean the guy wanted to legalize prostitution. I mean you can't. I got to give the guy a pat on the back for that, especially a dude who used to be a wrestler. I mean, he's pretty fucking smart for a guy who used to be a wrestler. He's bombastic, and he's kind of an asshole. And the company that he keeps is a little less than savory because one of the guys that he hangs around with is a guy named Alex Jones. I don't know if you guys know what Lou does.
Yeah. Pathetic man, Alex Jones. Yeah, he was on Piers Morgan yelling and ranting.
Yeah, he's another fucking lunatic.
You know, they start talking about... things that make sense, but then they go into Illuminati and Freemasons and the New World Order bullshit.
Yeah, as you say, Jesse Ventura is a very big, he's very big in conspiracy theories.
It's retarded, man. It's like gay.
I think the worst, and I tried to explain this to somebody else recently, the worst thing about the conspiracy theories is that even if you're right, it doesn't matter. What are you going to do about it? I don't care about whether or not the government was involved in 9/11 because it happened. It was a watershed moment in this country. But what are we going to do? What's the end result of all of these conspiracy theories? That we have to have an armed revolution? All right, well, let's get to that point then. Let's stop fucking about with the conspiracy theories and get to the fucking solution. What are you going to do about all this shit?
Exactly.
When am I going to get my AK?
Exactly. When am I gonna get my fucking reparations, son?
Sure. You don't need an AK to see your feet.
I'm Puerto Rican, I got something, you know?
Yeah,
sure. I'm like black people, but damn, I got something. I'll share it with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
My ancestors were Irish and you know, they weren't slaves, I don't think, but I mean you know, they still hated black people. They should get some money for that.
They joined the Klan.
Alex Jones interviewing Noam Chomsky, a man who's worked for 50 years tirelessly to get out the word about, you know, horribleness in the world. And he's interviewing, and then he cuts him, I think he hung up on him. He's like, Chomsky is a shill. He's an undercover agent for the New World Order.
Alex Jones is a New World Order lover. So the video that I watched was this big conspiracy about, and there is a certain amount of truth to. There's a conspiracy, sort of, I guess you can call it, but there are unnamed detention centers all around the southern U.S. on the border of Mexico that they call, like, dwelling complexes and stuff, and it's essentially long-term prisons that they hold, you know, like Mexican expatriates in and stuff like that, that they don't tell anybody about. They're not named, they're not on any maps. They just happen to be there, and when people stroll by, there's, like, armed guards, and there's barbed wire fences and stuff. They exist.
They don't know what they're being charged with.
what they did was they found this field where there's a whole bunch of big things that they said were big plastic coffins. And they're like, oh, you know, bodies are thrown in here, and there's like millions of them, you know. So they're like, oh, the amount of people that have to be killed in order for them to need this money. What they discovered